Blog Talk Radio.
Matthew chapter 5, looking at verses 14 through 16, the title of this message is Let Your Light Shine. Let your light shine. Oh, this is very important. I don't have to tell you how dark things are in our world. As we know how dark things are, what should our response be? Oh, I'm ashamed to say that many of us, we've grown accustomed to the darkness. It says you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand that it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven.
Hallelujah. We gon' shine our light and let them all shine. We gon' shine our light and let them all shine. We gon' shine our light and let them all shine. We gon' shine our light and let them all shine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We gon' shine a light and let them all shine. We gon' shine a light and let them all shine. We gon' shine a light and let them all shine. We gon' shine a light and let them all shine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To the Most High, He endures me. You don't praise the Father, yet you lost me. I swear it feel like basketball the way they cross me. Feeling like a muscle, they exhaust me. But I praise the Most High, no lie. I say, no lie, bow ties, no lie. But I praise the Most High, no lie. I say, no lie, bow ties, no lie. Demons be coming, but we not running, cause we are chosen, eh. I tell them repent, I swear it humongous, y'all is amongst us, eh. Demons be coming, but we not running, cause we are chosen, ay. I tell them repent, I swear it humongous, y'all is amongst us, ay. Yeah. A million watts when I step in, see the light, yeah. I'm meditating, seeing angels on my right, yeah. I tap in, they transform me like flight, yeah. Second max speed, chapter 7,
we not getting caught, what you so cost? This is not a sport, this is real life. Go against the dog, try to knock us off, that's a heavy cost, but we still fight. I can see the devil, please knock it off, we know you soft, don't get high. Benjamin, my tribe, yeah, we praise God, but I see the demons, so I still fight.
We gon' shine our light and let them all shine. We gon' shine our light and let them all shine. We gon' shine our light and let them all shine. We gon' shine our light and let them all shine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We gon' shine our light and let them all shine. We gon' shine our light and let them all shine.
All right. Waking Up Israel Radio Show. I'm your host, Micah Israel. And, well, today's episode, we'll be picking up where we left off in the book of Maccabees. However, I'm trying to see who's all going to make it to the show. Everybody noticed Sister Thale has been kind of ill. She's on the road to recovery. She's doing lots better. Maybe Thursday she'll join us. I'm not sure. But we're going to keep her in our thoughts and our prayers, man, that she continue to make good strides to, you know, be 100% again. All right? Okay. So, yeah. I want to get into Maccabees, but I'm just going to be all over the place, y'all. I'm thinking I'm just might have another show that I'm by myself. You know what I'm saying? I'm by myself. And, you know, that's the way this walk is, really. This walk, when you wake up to being in Israelite, it literally, it can be a lonely, lonely walk. But I know that's my choice. I did it to myself, man. I had the opportunity, several opportunities, still got opportunities now to join up with a camp, man. Join with other brothers that feel like me and believe like me. And I still got that, man. It's me. When I first woke up, man, I was under the impression that these camps, they be beefing with each other, man. You know what I'm saying? It's when I say beefing, is that they, you know, don't have nothing good to say about each other and about the doctrines. But when I look at everybody, man, is still trying to figure this out. That's what I want to say. I mean, they may not say it like that. They got it figured out from their position. But from my position, man, it seems like everybody's kind of missing a little something. Nobody got it just perfect. You know, but me being the way I am, and I don't mind how you say God's name or Christ's name, I don't mind. And with that attitude, that's hard to fit in a camp. It's you know, it can be difficult. I mean, I'm sure they're very reasonable on that, but, you know, some camps, they take it very seriously. You know, and, well, hey, man, it's a lonely walk, man. So as you can see with my shows, I play a different type of music from a little bit of everybody, man. You know, Hebrew is like music, you know what I'm saying? It's like gospel music. It's coming from different people and the song they got in their heart that they, you know, and they're making this music. It's good music, man, and I don't turn it down. I listen to all of it. But you can hear them in their words when they say, you know, Hawashah or Jesus, or, you know what I'm saying, Yeshaya, Ahaya, you know, Jehovah, you know what I'm saying, you know, Yah. You know what I'm saying? They got Yahweh. There's a lot of different names out there that they call, you know. But, hey, I don't mind, man. I know who they're talking about, right? So I'm just in the middle of the road type of guy, and I got my sights set on being in the right, you know, being in the right when Christ comes, you know. I don't know when Christ's coming, man. I really don't. It may not even be in my lifetime or my children's lifetime. You know, nobody knows, right? But I do believe that it's going to happen one day. I do. I'm in that belief system, man. There got to be more to this. There got to be more to this. Born and raised in the belly of the beast, you know what I'm saying? Because America, being the number one superpower, you can tell something's up because they're acting weird up there that's running this country, right? You got them trying to rush the when Joe Biden was elected. They up here trying to ambush him and, you know, try to take over the government. They acting weird, man. These are weird times we're living in. That lets me know that something's up. They know something, right? Something's up, bro. Something real major is going down, and they didn't succeed. So that's telling me that, there's all type of plots in the works, right? You know what I'm saying? Because those type of enemies don't disappear. And to me, it's another telltale sign that things are kind of going downhill here on out, right? And, we in those last days for real, man. Because if Americans team up with, you know, the enemy or whatever, you know, we fighting with each other like a civil war. And who knows who would, you know, get help from the outside sources to help them fight their homeland enemies, you know. Ain't no telling, man. What's something to go down is all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. And but we know what this Bible says. This Bible says that all these empires are going to fall one day, right? And we see this, see America kind of going downhill, you know, probably not real fast, but it's going downhill. Sure, I mean, you know, that's what I'm seeing. But, yeah, besides that, y'all, I've been just thinking about what I want to do with today's show, you know. I definitely want to read in the Book of Maccabees and spend more of the show time on that. But I kind of like that drift, you know. I like drifting from different subjects and whatnot. But I guess in reading Maccabees, we can maybe start a drift from there. I always like to kind of put a little something controversial in there, right? That controversial things that I may say on the show, that is the, well, enlightenment, but yet make you think. And all of that is kind of entertainment as you drive down the highway. For a lot of my listeners, I'm thinking I'm talking to a lot of truckers that may be tuning in. You know, believe it or not, a lot of those truckers tune in to Blog Talk as we roll down these highways, you know. And so I'm hoping that these truckers can tune in and check that out. And all my people that come across the show, like on my Facebook friends and so, I'm hoping that they can listen to too. Also, probably when they at work or whatever. Hey, it's all to the good, man. My show is not very big. It's I haven't advertised my show through Facebook. It's pretty much the only avenue that I kind of put that out there. And then on top of that, there's a whole bunch of different Hebrew Israelite pages. You know, I could advertise a lot more. But I haven't. I'm kind of working on myself. You know, before I can even reach out to talk to somebody who believes totally different from me across the table, I got to learn how to you know, talk and fish. And I'm going to use that analogy, fishing. I'm trying to perfect my fishing, okay, because I do want them to come into the fact that they're Hebrew Israelites and see the scriptures, you know, that we can agree upon the scriptures. Not necessarily see it my way, like I got it figured out. But, you know, that we can walk together, man. You know what I'm saying? Be on the same page, right? And there's a lot of Israelites out there, Hebrew Israelites, you know what I'm saying? They woken up and everything. But they got a different point of view on the scriptures, you know? If you was to go to Google and type in Hebrew Israelite, the Google's going to tell you that we're a hate group. You know, this whole thing is a hate group and all of this and that, you know what I'm saying? And the videos is probably them, you know, cussing out a little white boy or something like that. And that's, you know, that's the reality, right? So I got to do my part in changing that narrative. I'm not racist, man. I mean, I'm inviting all nationalities to my show, and I'm even taking another step farther, and I'm inviting people who believe totally different from me on the show. Islam, Kemet, Scientology, atheist. Why? Well, because Hebrews, we're scattered across the world, man, and we're into all these belief systems. You name it, we're in it, okay? And all my Christian brothers and sisters, man. In order to fish for them, it's a different bait for each one. For Islam, I need to know a little something about Islam, right? For Kemet, I need to know a little something about Kemet. Because when I invite them on the show, that it's almost like they're going to be speaking a different language than what I'm used to, you know what I'm saying? So I got to be able to adapt and be able to fish for them on that level, right? And so that's when you read our brother Paul, that's exactly how he was doing it. You know what I'm saying? Except he was going against, you know, Princess Diana, you know, Aquaman, and things like that, right? Thor, you know what I'm saying? they was believing in things like that. And he was able to fish for them on that level and convert them to Christ. And the technique that he used was looking at it in a spiritual light. Instead of the idols, spiritually connect with the Father. You know what I'm saying? So that intrigued them, and the way he worded it was awesome. And they fell in love with it, and they loved that Christ idea. And they eventually became martyrs for Christianity. And they died, man. They died defending what they believe in. And, you know, and all those efforts that they put into that, Rome ended up making Christianity the top belief system, the nation's belief system. So, and the fruits of that is the Christians now have the steering wheel to all our records, all the Hebrew, all the, you know, the records of Israel and all anything dealing with Hebrew Israelites, they all had it, right? Because in 70 A.D., as you know, even though it's a Christian nation, they sacked Jerusalem, and everybody went running for their lives, all right? And that's where the story kind of ends right there. Nobody knows where those people ran to. But history tells us that they popped back up a couple hundred years later, and they was in Portugal. Well, a good number of them. A few hundred years later, right? They wind up in Portugal, and we see that the expulsion of the Jews in Portugal, right? And they shipped them to Africa, and the whole slave trade thing popped off on the other side. But we can't forget about the Islamic slave trade, right? That happened way before that right there went down. And that's how a lot of them winded up in Portugal. So you got to put these pieces all together, what all kind of transpired, man. And I've seen that movie, The Woman King, and that kind of paints a little picture there, give you a little insight of the drama that's built over. Apparently, mentally, we was already kind of lost at that time. You know, when you look at the big picture, man, a lot of us forgot who we were and everything, even at that time. They tell you the location of the Dahomey tribe, and Yehuda is the land that they live. That's Judah, y'all. That's the land of Judah right there. Ouda, all right? It's right there in our face, right? But they didn't see the other tribes as their fellow Hebrew brothers and sisters. No, here they is fighting each other. What is the beef? What is that all about? Was it greed? But I don't think they even knew who they was. Even that was taking place in the, what, 1700s? I believe, or the 1800s. See, America was already in play and doing its thing over here. When that was right there, was going down. So, I mean, come on, man. It's a lot. It's a lot to take in, all right? All right, so without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and get started. I'm going to go ahead and get started reading in the book of Maccabees. And, get started in reading in the book of Maccabees. And I'm trying to remember where I left off at. Just give me one second. And this stuff, a good insight on the book of Maccabees, all right? When we read our Bibles, it tells you Genesis and Israel, you know, the up and down to all of that, man, and who all we was captives to, right? Every time we messed up, God punished us with slavery, you know, and he punished us with slavery. Okay, so let's see, I want to say it was 49. Yeah. So he punished us from slavery. The first one was Egypt, right? We went into slavery in Egypt. The second one I want to say it was the Assyrians, I want to say. The Assyrians, they conquered the northern kingdom. And the northern kingdom was messing up. We was all messing up. But the northern kingdom, they was messing up real bad, man. And to the point that God wanted to just kick them off the land. And that's the good ones, too. If there was any good folks in the northern kingdom, they too got caught up in that, all right, and kicked off the land, right? Every single one of them got kicked off. And they was replaced because now that was part of Assyria, you could say. And Assyria was the leading superpower at that time. And so Assyria started letting any and everybody into that land, right? It's part of its kingdom or whatever. And a lot of them never returned back. After Assyria captivity, it was the Babylonian captivity. And that's Nebuchadnezzar. We know the story of that. That's the southern kingdom now going into slavery, right? And then after that one, the Persian captivity went into slavery. Now, in our Bibles, it goes from the Persian captivity, and then it jumps to the Roman, right, when we under Roman rule. But see, that's what the Apocrypha gives us, was that those years in between the Persian captivity and the Roman captivity, this right here what we read is telling us all that went down in between that time. Right? All right. Because we haven't been independent, man, since Solomon or something like that. You know what I'm saying? We've been under somebody's rule ever since. Right? And so, this is talking about the Greek Empire, y'all. Alexander the Great came through there, and he conquered a bunch of folks around there. And this is kind of telling you a little bit about them. And when he died, he left four generals in charge of all the territory that he conquered, right? Four generals. And those generals made themselves kings and put crowns on them on their heads. Now, their children all grew up, and they now were leaders and whatnot. And they just acting, running amok throughout the kingdom. And where we stopped off at is one of those kings, descendants of one of those kings, conquered another king. So there they is fighting with each other over territory, right? And that is where we're picking off at, because we see that during that time there was even some Israelites playing the game, you know. You can't beat them, join them type of attitudes. And why suffer when we can prosper with them, right? And here they is, they're sacrificing pigs and everything else on our altars. They running amok, raping and taking folks to Greek for slaves, and they doing the most. But the Israelites, man, just like, hey, I guess God ain't with us, I guess. So they decided to just join in with the Greeks, you know, learn their language, and they doing it all voluntarily, you know, to get on their good side and try to prosper under them. Don't that kind of sound familiar, though? Anyway, so without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and pick back up. All right, let me first check to see if anybody called in. All right, I'm by myself. All right. Okay, so I'm going to pick back up. I believe we left off at 49. First Maccabees chapter 1 verse 49. To the end they might forget the law and change all the ordinances. So they made an announcement. The king at this time, one of the Greek kings at this time, that's over this area, made an announcement that all law is to be abolished. Right? Y'all don't have the only law is whatever they put up with. So the Israelites trying to keep God's laws, they telling them right now that if you try to do God's law, we gonna do something bad to you, right? Is everybody supposed to do just their law, just their Greek law, right? They made that announcement, so everybody's just like, man, run, you know, it was crazy hard, crazy times right here in Jerusalem. All right, so verse 50. And whosoever would not do according to the commandment of the king, he said, he should die. So they're killing people who don't do their Greek law. In the self-same manner wrote he to his whole kingdom and appointed overseers over all the people, commanding the cities of Judah to sacrifice city by city. Then many of the people were gathered unto them, to wit everyone that forsook the law, and so they committed evils in the land. So the Israelites went along with it and drove the Israelites into secret places, even wheresoever they could flee for secure. All right, so there's a bunch of us that just ran for our lives, man, you know. Now the 15th day of the month of Kasul, in the 145th year, they set up the abomination of desolation upon the altar and builded idol altars throughout the cities of Judah on every side, and burnt incense at the doors of their houses and in the streets. Wow, let's pause right there. They set up the abomination of desolation upon the altar and builded idol altars throughout the city. So this idol altar is different from the abomination of desolation upon the altar. I don't know what the abomination of desolation is, but I'm thinking it's some kind of, I don't know, maybe that man with the goat head, you know, satanic statue, or was it a statue? I'm not even sure, but whatever they did, they put it up on the altar of Jerusalem, right? And they built idols, altars, throughout the cities of Judah on every side, and burnt incense at the doors of their houses and in the streets. And when they had rent in pieces the books of the law, ooh, they tore it up, which they found, they burnt them with fire. So they burning up scrolls and everything like that, dealing with the Israelites. The Greeks did. Whoa. God ain't, man, I imagine a lot of people at this time was like, God is not with us no more. He's so mad at us, he just, you know, he's just letting them do whatever to Jerusalem right now, right? They lost all hope at this point. Oh, my goodness. All right, here we go, 57. And whosoever was found with any the book of the Testament, or if any committed to the law, the king's commandment was that they should put him to death. Thus did they by their authority unto the Israelites every month to as many as were found in the city. Now the 5th and 20th day of the month, they did sacrifice upon the idol altar, upon the altar of God, at which time, according to the commandment, they put to death certain women. They had caused their children to be circumcised. And they hanged the infants by their necks and rifled their houses and slew them that had circumcised them. Howbeit, many in Israel were fully resolved and confirmed in themselves not to eat any unclean thing, wherefore the rather to die, that they might not be defiled with meat, and that they might not profane the holy covenant. So then they died. Whoa. So during this time, when they declared this Greek law, that the God's law is banished, right? You have some Israelites willing to die, man. Their families, infants just being born, just give their lives up for their cause, right? And the Greeks went to killing them, slaughtering all of them, man. And so you got a lot of martyrs on the Hebrew Israelite side at this point. A lot of tears and and crying out to God, I can only imagine, right? And there was very great wrath upon Israel. In those days arose Matthathias, the son of John, the son of Simeon, a priest of the son of Joiarib, from Jerusalem, and dwelt in Modin. And he had five sons, Joannan, called Cadus, Simon, called Thasus, Judas, who was called Maccabeus, Eleazar, called Everin, and Jonathan, whose surname was Apphus. So, you got the Hebrew name, and then you got this Greek type of name. Am I saying that right? It's because it seems a little Greekish. You got the real name, the Hebrew name, and I guess this is how the Hebrew name sounds. I don't know. I don't know how to take that. But these surnames. Okay, but I'm gonna keep that in mind, y'all. I don't know everything. I'm just trying to see what's up, okay? So these got these characters as a role. The storyline is shining light on these guys here. And when he saw the blasphemies that were committed in Judah and Jerusalem, he said, "Woe is me! Wherefore was I born to see this misery of my people and of the holy city, and to dwell there, when it was delivered into the hand of the enemy, and the sanctuary into the hand of strangers? Her temple is become as a man without glory. Her glorious vessels are carried away into captivity. Her infants are slain in the streets, her young men with the sword of the enemy. What nation have not had a part in her kingdom and gotten of her spoils? All of her ornaments are taken away. Of a free woman she is become a bond slave. And behold, our sanctuary, even our beauty and our glory, is laid waste, and the Gentiles have profaned it. To what end, therefore, shall we live any longer?" Then Matthathias and his sons rent their clothes and put on sackcloth and mourned very sore. In the meanwhile, the king's officers, such as compelled the people to revolt, came into the city Modin to make them sacrifice. And when many of Israel came unto them, Matthathias also and his sons came together. Then answered the king's officers and said to Matthathias on this wise, "Thou art a ruler and an honorable and great man in this city, and strengthened with sons and brethren. Now therefore come thou first and fulfill the king's commandment, like as all the heathen have done, yea, the men of Judah also, and such as remain at Jerusalem. So shalt thou and thy house be in the number of the king's friends, and thou and thy children shall be honored with silver and gold and many rewards." Then Matthathias answered and spake with a loud voice, "Though all the nations that are under the king's dominion obey him, and fall away every one from the religion of their fathers, and give consent to his commandments, yet will I and my sons and my brethren walk covenant of our fathers. God forbid that we should forsake the law and the ordinances. We will not hearken to the king's words to go from our religion, either on the right hand or the left." Now, when he had left speaking these words, there came one of the Jews in the sight of all to sacrifice on the altar, which was at Modin, according to the king's commandment. Which thing, when Matthathias saw, he was inflamed with zeal, and his reins trembled, neither could he forbear to shew his anger according to judgment. Wherefore he ran and slew him upon the altar. Oh, so here it is. The Greeks came to their little town, and it was time to, let's get it popping, right? And he stood up and like, okay, I am the leader of this little town here, and all my brethren that gave in to your king's commandments, but me and my family, we ain't, okay? We ain't. We for the die like the other ones. You know what I'm saying? I guess because I ain't finna do it. And then he seen a brother walking with his with a pig or something and finna altar to their idol or something, you know. And Mattathias ran. He was so mad, man. He seen that. He ran up on that altar and stabbed that man in the throat or something, you know. Killed him dead right there on that altar, man. All right? So Mattathias, he's already emerging. The storyline is already, I can kind of see that, you know. Mattathias, I believe that's another way of saying Matthew. Matthew. You know what I'm saying? Don't quote me on that. I want to say that, but it's another way of saying Matthew. All right. Anyway. Also, the King's Commissioner. Oh, let me pause right there, y'all. Let me see if anybody called in. I got to do this from time to time to see if anybody. Okay, it's just me. It's just me on the show, y'all. I'm gonna keep on reading. Okay. What you do? All right. Now, where was I at? Okay. Okay. All right. 25. Also, the King's Commissioner, who compelled men to sacrifice, he killed at that time, and the altar he pulled down. So Mattathias went up there and killed the Israelite that was sacrificing. Then he killed, I guess, the man that was up there telling folks to sacrifice, and then he pulled down the altar, okay? Thus dealt he zealous for the law of God, like as Phinehas did unto Zimri, the son of Salom. And Matthias cried throughout the city with a loud voice, saying, "Whosoever is zealous of the law and maintaineth the covenant, let him follow me." Right? So he and his sons fled into the mountains and left all that every that they had in the city. Okay. Then men that sought after justice and judgment went down into the wilderness to dwell there, both they and their children and their wives and their cattle, because affliction increased sore upon them. Now when it was told the king's servants and the host that was at Jerusalem in the city of David that certain men who had broken the king's commandment were gone down into the secret places in the wilderness, pursued after them a great number and have overtaken them, they camped against them and made war against them on the Sabbath day. And they said unto them, "Let that which ye have done hitherto suffice. Come forth and do according to the commandment of the king, and ye shall live." But they said, "We will not come forth, neither will we do the king's commandment to profane the Sabbath day." So then they gave them the battle with all speed. Howbeit they answered them not, neither cast they a stone at them, nor stopped the places where they lay hid, but said, "Let us die all in our innocency. Heaven and earth will testify for us that ye put us to death wrongfully." So they rose up against them in battle on the Sabbath, and they slew them with their wives and children and the cattle, to the number of 1,000 people. And when Mattathias and his friends understood hereof, they mourned for them right sore. And one of them said to another, "If we all do as our brethren have done, and fight not for our lives and laws against the heathen, they will now quickly root us out of the earth." So let me pause right there. So here they done did this thing in the city, and they fled, right? And where they fled is apparently in this wilderness. And in the wilderness, they come across some more people who was running from affliction. They didn't want to participate, right? And so here they seen them, those folks, go up against the Greeks in battle, and they didn't even fight back because it was the Sabbath day. So they, and all their people kind of did a, I'm not going to call it suicidal, but they just ran out there and let them kill them. Right? And so here he says to his people, "Hey, man, we got to fight for our lives, even though it's a Sabbath. You know, we gotta fight for our lives, man. You know, they just going to just slaughter all of us because they don't care about the Sabbath." You know, You feel me? All right. All right, so here we go, 41. At that time, therefore, they decreed, saying, whosoever shall come to make battle with us on the Sabbath day, we will fight against him. Neither will we die all, as our brother that were murdered in the secret place. Then came there unto him a company of Assyrians. Assyrians. That sounds familiar. Okay, they Israelites, but they call Assyrians, who were mighty men of Israel, even all such as were voluntarily devoted unto the law. Also all they that fled for persecution joined themselves unto them and were a stay unto them. So they joined their forces and smote sinful men in their anger and wicked men in their wrath, but the rest fled to the heathen for secure. Oh, so hold on. What's being said here? All right. So Mattathias, they're laying in the shadows there in the wilderness, and they teamed up with some more Israelites. It's like, yeah, man, we're down to fight. We're down to die on what we believe in. And so the little places that they went to, they seen Israelites just as evil and wicked, doing what the Greeks told them to do. And in their wrath and stuff, they killing Israelites. And then you got Israelites running to the Greeks, right? Okay, gotcha. Then Mattathias and his friends went round about and pulled down the altars. And what children soever they found within the coast of Israel, uncircumcised, those they circumcised valiantly. They pursued also after the proud men, and the work prospered in their hands. So they recovered the law out of the hand of the Gentiles and out of the hand of kings. Neither suffered they the sinner to triumph. Now when the time drew near that Mattathias should die, okay, Mattathias is the daddy, and I guess he was a elder man, he said unto his sons, now hath pride and rebuke gotten strength, and the time of destruction and the wrath of indignation. Now therefore, my sons, be ye zealous for the law, and give your lives for the covenant of your fathers. Call to remembrance what acts our fathers did in their time. So shall ye receive great honor and an everlasting name. Was not Abraham found faithful in temptation? And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Joseph, in the time of his distress, kept the commandment and was made Lord of Egypt. Finest, our father, is being zealous and fervent, obtained the covenant of an everlasting priesthood. Jesus, Joshua, for fulfilling the word, was made a judge in Israel. Caleb, for bearing witness before the congregation, received the heritage of the land. David, for being merciful, possessed the throne of an everlasting kingdom. Elias, for being zealous and fervent for the law, was taken up to heaven. Ananias and Azarias and Messiah, by believing, were saved out of the flame. Daniel, for his innocency, was delivered from the mouth of the lion, and thus considered, yea, throughout all ages, that none of that put their trust in him shall be overcome. Fear not, then, the words of a sinful man, for his glory shall be dung and worms. Today he shall be lifted up, and tomorrow he shall not be found, because he is returned into his dust, and his thought is come to nothing. Wherefore, yea, my sons, be valiant and shew yourself men in the behalf of the law, for by it shall ye obtain glory. And behold, I know that your brother Simeon is a man of counsel. Give ear unto him always. He shall be a father unto you. As for Judas Maccabeus, he hath been mighty and strong, even from his youth up. Let him be your captain and fight the battle of the people. Take also unto you all those that observe the law, and avenge ye the wrong of your people. recompense fully the heathen, and take heed to the commandments of the law. So he blessed them, and he was gathered to his fathers. And he died in the 146th year, and his sons buried him in the sepulchres of his fathers at Modin. And all Israel made great lamentation for him. Mattathias died. Then his son Judas, called Maccabeus, rose up in his stead. And all his brethren helped him. And so did all they that held with his father. And they fought with cheerfulness the battle of Israel. So he got his people great honor and put on a breastplate as a giant and girt his warlike harness about him. And he made battles, protecting the host with his sword. In his acts, he was like a lion, and like a lion's whelp roaring for his prey. For he pursued the wicked and sought them out and burnt up those that vexed his people. Wherefore the wicked shrunk for fear of him, and all the workers of iniquity were troubled, because salvation prospered in his hand. He grieved also many kings, and made Jacob glad with his acts, and his memorial is blessed forever. Moreover, he went through the cities of Judah, destroying the ungodly out of them, and turning away wrath from Israel, so that he was renowned unto the utmost part of the earth. And he received unto him such as were ready to perish. Okay, here we go. Here we go, these Greek names here. Then Apollonius gathered the Gentiles together, and a great host out of Samaria, that's the northern kingdom, to fight against Israel. Which thing, when Judas perceived, he went forth to meet him. And so he smote him and slew him. Many also fell down slain, but the rest fled. Wherefore Judas took their spoils, and Apollonius sword also. And therewith he fought all his life long. Now, so that sword of Apollonius, Maccabeus took his sword, and I guess he kept it for the rest of his life. It must have been a pretty nice sword. Now, when Sarion, a prince of the army of Syria, heard say that Judas had gathered unto him a multitude in company of the faithful to go out with him to war, he said, I will get me a name and honor in the kingdom, for I will go fight with Judas and them that are with him, who despise the king's commandments. So this brother right here is in Assyria. And he said, I heard that those brothers down there in Israel are fighting back. And we are oppressed by the Greeks as well. I'm going to go down there and make a name for myself. And I'm going to go and fight with Judas, man. You know what I'm saying? And so that's what's going down with that. All right, let me pause right there. All right, we have 15. All right, let me see if anybody done tuned in. Okay, now they have. Okay, now they have. All right, so let me get back over here. All right, we had 15. So he made him ready to go up, and there went with him a mighty host of ungodly to help him and to avenge of the children of Israel. And when he came near to the going up of Bethrono, Judas went forth to meet him with a small company, who, when they saw the host coming to meet them, said unto Judas, how shall we be able, being so few, to fight against so great of a multitude and so strong, seeing that we are ready to faint with fasting all this day? Unto whom Judas answered, it is no hard matter for many to be shut up in the hands of a few. And with the God of heaven, it is all one to deliver with great multitude or small company. For the victory of battle standeth not in the multitude of an host, but strength cometh from heaven. They come against us in much pride and iniquity to destroy us, and our wives and children, and to spoil us. but we fight for our lives and our laws. Wherefore the Lord himself will overthrow them before our face. And as for you, be ye not afraid of it. Now as soon as he had left off speaking, he leaped suddenly upon them. And so Saran and his host was overthrown before him. Pursued them from the going down of Bethel throne unto the plain, where were slain about 800 men of them, and the residue fled into the land of the Philistines. Then began the fear of Judas and his brethren, and an exceeding great dread to fall upon the nations round about them, insomuch as his fame came unto the king, and all nations talked of the battles of Judas. Now when King Antiochus heard these things, he was full of indignation. Wherefore he sent and gathered together all the forces of his realm, even a very strong army. He opened also his treasure and gave his soldiers pay for a year, commanded them to be ready whensoever he should need them. Nevertheless, when he saw that the money of his treasure failed and that the tributes in the country were small because of the dissension and plague which he had brought upon the land and taken away the laws which had been of old time, he feared that he should not be able to bear the charges any longer, nor to have such gifts to give so liberally as he did before, for he had abounded above the kings that were before him. Wherefore, being great perplexed in his mind, he determined to go to Persia, there to take the tributes of the countries and to gather much money. So he left Lysias, a nobleman and one of the blood royal, to oversee the affairs of the king from the river Euphrates unto the borders of Egypt, and to bring up his son Antiochus until he came again. So he's leaving to go get some more money to fund this great army he's trying to do. And he left this guy in charge over his son. I guess his son is very young. And so they ought to just chill and do the handle of the king's business while he's gone. All right, 34. Moreover, he delivered unto him the half of his forces and the elephants and gave him charge over all things that would have done, as also concerning them that dwelt in Judah and Jerusalem, to wit, that he should send an army against them to destroy and root out the strength of Israel and the remnant of Jerusalem, and to take away their memorial from that place, and that he should place strangers in all their quarters and divide their land by lot. So the king took the half of the forces that remained and departed from Antioch, his royal city, the 147th year, and having passed the river Euphrates, he went through the high countries. Then Lysias chose Ptolemy, the son of Doramene, Nicanor, and Gorgas, mighty men of the king's friends, and with them he sent 40,000 footmen and 7,000 horsemen to go into the land of Judah and destroy it, as the king commanded. So they went forth with all their power and came and pitched in Emus, in the plain country. And the merchants of the country, hearing the fame of them, took silver and gold very much with servants and came into the camp to buy the children of Israel for slaves. A power also of Syria and of the land of the Philistines joined themselves unto them. Now when Judas and his brethren saw the miseries were multiplied, and that the forces did encamp themselves in their borders, for they knew not how the king had given commandment to destroy the people and utterly abolish them, they said to one another, "Let us restore the decayed fortune of our people. Let us fight for our people and the sanctuary." Then was the congregation gathered together, that they might be ready for battle, and that they might pray and ask mercy and compassion. Now Jerusalem lay void as a wilderness, there was none of her children that went in or out. The sanctuary also was trodden down, and aliens kept the stronghold. The heathen had their habitations in that place, and joy was taken from Jacob, and the pipe with the harp ceased. Wherefore the Israelites assembled themselves together and came to Mizpah over against Jerusalem. For in Mizpah was the place where they prayed aforetime in Israel. Then they fasted that day and put on sackcloth and cast ashes upon their heads and rent their clothes and laid open the book of the law, wherein the heathen had sought to paint the likeness of their images. Wow, that's heavy right there. The heathen sought to paint the likeness of their image in their book of the law. But they didn't have no shame, did they? They brought also the priest's garments and the first fruits and the tithes and the Nazarites they stirred up who had accomplished their days. Then cried they with a loud voice toward heaven, saying, what shall we do with these, and whither shall we gather them away? For thy sanctuary is trodden down and profaned, and thy priests are in heaviness and brought low. And lo, the heathen have assembled together against us to destroy us. What things they imagine against us, thou knowest. How shall we be able to stand against them, except thou, O God, be our help? Then sounded they with trumpets and cried with a loud voice. And after this, Judas ordained captains over the people, even captains over thousands and over hundreds and over fifties and over teens. But as far as such as were building houses or have betrothed wives or were planting vineyards or were fearful, those he commanded that they should return every man to his own house according to the law. So the camp removed and pitched upon the south side of Edom. Judah said, arm yourselves and be valiant men, and see that ye be in readiness against them in the morning, that ye may fight with these nations that are assembled together against us to destroy us and our sanctuary. For it is better for us to die in battle than to behold calamities of our people and our sanctuary. Nevertheless, as the will of God is in heaven, so let him do. Let me stop right there, because that is the first three chapters of the first Maccabees right there. So what we gather so far in the first three chapters is, they're revolting. They're fighting back the Greek occupation, right? And see, what we learned in the beginning, that there was four generals. Alexander the Great left in charge, four generals of all the territories that he had. Now, the two generals that's over Asia, Persia and Egypt and all of that, and this other general that was over Assyria and all of that, Israel and all of that, they went to bumping heads, and one general chased the other general away. So that one general was over all this area, and he ran out of money because he was terrorizing Jerusalem, trying to enforce his laws, right? And he needed the manpower. He'd been, spending money generously, breaking bread. And his money then got short. So he put on a great army, willing to destroy them that still fight back. And he left them to go and try to get some more money from the Persian Empire. That other general that he chased out. He's going to go over there and then go to his other back pocket and go get some gold and bring it on back, right? So that's his plan. Because he's thinking that this little trouble that they're doing ain't going to amount to nothing once he sends his forces in. So he gathered up a great army, and the Israelites, they planning on the revolt. They fasted and talking to God and praying to God. And here they is going to fight a huge army, and they're a small army. So they definitely need God's help. And that was the first three chapters, basically. All right, let me pause right there. See if anybody joined us. All right, nobody's in yet. And we are hour in, so top of the hour. So let us go on and take a break and listen to a song. And since this is we're reading about in the Maccabees, I want to play a song, man, that's, you know, kind of fitting for the moment that we're in, man. You know, it's got a little bit of revolt to it, right? Now, I got this one song in mind. All right, Surrender. You know, we never surrender. I think that's a good song to fit the mood right now. Let's play that one.
Pray to the Most High. Glory Yeshua, you are the ruler, it's in you that my hope lies. Oh God, no lie, no fight, I don't play both sides. Been so down with the window down, truth music blowing out the whip, so loud you repent when I roll by. Got over money, my click if you with it, I know when you ride out. The whole world finna die out, why high now, fourth down in the fourth, no timeout. Not in no upper room, do what you come to do, we ain't gon' hide out. Ain't here to punish you, Jesus is coming soon. Hate it or love it, one day you gon' find out.
Yeah.
Atheist saying, well, the only reason you with him cause you afraid of hell. But I believe the hell was 100% real when I was still about here chasing mail straight.
Raising hell, appearing to be real, but literally fake. I sit with a cheap meal, pretending to eat fake. I live with a cheap meal, pretending to be great till everything breaks. Never been to the top, but I seen the bottom. Well, at least I seen what I think is bottom. But we all believe that we done seen it all until we meet somebody from beneath the bottom. And the things we whine about daily, they don't even see his problems. Honestly, with all I've been seeing, it's kinda hard not to think that we the problem.
Hold up. Wait. Let it breathe. Hold up. Wait. Let it breathe. Hold up. Wait. Let it breathe. Hold up. Wait. Okay,
if you want in the air, if you know, say you win it. Here's grace, so we not take no time. We are against the world, no, we not aim to fuck. Surrender to the Lord, no, we not fuck, no time.
Hey, we roll for the D-O to the D, the elite folk know not to play. It could be cold 40 days of complete snow touch here to get hot today. If I wasn't trying to be cool, these MCs be food on top my plate. But that's not my plate, so I'ma get back in my zone. Try to level through the crap they be on. I know, the dealer and the P both need Jesus, but it's so dang hard. Know when they selling that crack to my folks, trying to get them back in that hole, feeling like I'm in this battle alone. Shout out to the cats that are actively out here combating this madness after what matters the most.
Yeah.
Hold up. Wait. Let it breathe. Hold up. Wait. Let it breathe. Hold up. Wait. Let it breathe. Hold up. Wait. Okay,
if you want in the air, if you know, say you win it. Here's grace, so we not take no time. We against the world, no, we not aim to fuck. Surrender to the Lord, no, we not bust no shot.
Whoa.
This is it.
Oh, praise to the Most High. Hey, it's the last one before I do my take with free bro. That's my op.
Holy.
You are my rock, my shield, my fortress, my everlasting King. You gave me life.
Hold up, man. Let me pause that. Are you telling me that I've been reading this book and my mic was on mute the whole time? Tell me that didn't happen. Tell me that didn't just happen, man. Oh, my goodness. Oh, no. Tell me that didn't just happen. How long was... Oh, my goodness. Oh, man. This is crazy. This is insane, man. So, all this time, man, I done been reading in the book, y'all. I'm in Maccabees, and we stopped in chapter 5, and we stopped at verse 29. Tell me I didn't just read all of that, and my mic was on mute. See what I'm saying? I haven't advertised my show. I haven't advertised my show because I just haven't got it down yet, y'all. I just, maybe it's not for me. But what I'm doing, I'm kind of recording my little journey. But I the ins and out on having a show, I don't have it. Apparently, I don't have what it takes. I don't know. I'm not going to give up. I'm not a quitter. But that just happened, right? I'd have been reading all this time, y'all, and my mic was on mute. So the last thing y'all probably heard was me coming off the break. We done missed 30 minutes of the show, over 30 minutes. I'm upset, man. And with that, y'all, I'm going to go ahead and end the show. We got 20 minutes left, but I'm going to say this is my journey, y'all, and I'm going to go back and listen to it, and I'm going to see where we left off on the show. And if I got to read chapter 4 all over again, that's just what's up. Forgive me. That's just what that is, okay? I'm by myself, man. I messed up, y'all. I left my mic on mute the whole time. That's crazy. But, forgive me for that. And, forgive me for that, man. We'll meet up Thursday at 5 p.m. Right. These type of mistakes, man, make you or break you, right? I want people to listen to my show. I really do. But those type of mistakes, I don't know. I might just erase this entire show. That's how upset I am right now. But it is what it is. All right, I'm going to go on in the show. I'll see y'all at 5. I'll see y'all Thursday at 5 p.m., man. All right, shalom, shalom. Oh, it's crazy.